This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, you thought it was going to be a slow Friday, right? Last day in February, Friday, nothing going on. How wrong you were, huh? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It's great to have you with us today. Appreciate it very, very much. A lot going on, obviously. And very excited to welcome to the show a great reporter, Dana Kennedy, investigative reporter at the New York Post, and Dana has broken stories, including Governor Cuomo's controversial plan to build 10 skyscrapers at Penn Station, X-rated seminars being taught in posh New York City private schools, and corruption at a housing development turned illegal alien sanctuary in Texas. And she spent a decade as an anchor and correspondent on CNN, ABC News, Fox News, and MSNBC, so you know her face. And a very happy to welcome to the show, Dana Kennedy. How are you today, Dana?
I'm good. Thanks, Rich.
Great to have you. You know, I originally booked you because we were going to talk about your piece on Thomas Crooks, which is incredibly important. And we're going to get to that in just a second. I saw that you tweeted out your X handle is Dana Kennedy Live. The latest New York Post story about Zelensky and Trump, where Trump tells Zelensky he's gambling with World War III in the heated Oval Office exchange. Any thoughts on that you want to share before we get into Thomas Crooks?
Yeah, I think it was, when have we ever seen that live from the Oval Office? I just thought it was incredible. I mean, in a way, it's like persuade me we're not in a computer simulation. I am not a big fan of Zelensky. And I feel as if Trump told him off correctly, to be honest with you. I mean, I think the guy is entitled beyond entitlement. I don't know what he's doing, but, you know, he got a very he got a really nice ride from everybody. You know, the guy is a former actor. His mentor, Igor Kolomoisky, is one of the most corrupt people in Ukraine. And that has not seemed to come out in the narrative in recent years. So I think what the vice president and the president said to him was seemingly crazy to a person that's used to seeing the Oval Office in a very sedate manner. But, you know, I think he needed to be told that.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of the guy either. I think this whole thing is just a giant embezzlement that he wants to keep going. I think he wants the gravy train to keep going here. I really don't think he wants peace. Otherwise, why would you not agree to the deal and come there and then start embarrassing the president, suggesting he can't keep Russia at bay? I mean, there's no point to doing what he did today unless he just wants to see this war continue.
The thing is, I mean, whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump, he's just not a guy to go up against, especially in such a public situation like that. His whole thing is, and he learned this from Roy Cohn, he's not going to back down. He's not going to let anybody get the better of him, no matter what situation he's in, if he's at the White House or if he's at the corner bar in Mar-a-Lago. So I just don't know what Zelensky was thinking. I really do think Zelensky's been spoiled by everything he's gotten and the lack of pushback that he's gotten. And he just kind of didn't have any strategists working for him, and he wasn't using any strategy himself. I thought it was really a crazy thing to actually see.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. Dana, it's so great that you made time for us today. I saw your article in the New York Post about Thomas Crooks. This entire story fascinates me, just how we have not heard about him. It's like it never happened. It's almost like it never happened. There's a couple great reporters out there, Susan Crabtree, Real Clear Politics, and yourself with the New York Post, who are still all over this story, and I'm grateful. And your latest piece, who was Thomas Crooks on the phone with before he shot the president of the United States in the face, would-be Trump assassin Thomas Crooks may have had an accomplice, data shows, as investigators say FBI is suppressing info. This is a major bombshell.
Well, you know, you're so right about people having forgotten about him, and you have to wonder if that's sort of deliberate. It is very unusual for a man 20 years old, a young man that young, growing up in the era he did, to not have any social media whatsoever. We know he was a huge video gamer, so how could he not have some kind of digital footprint? That's strange to begin with. And I really think that if Kamala Harris had been elected president, we would never have heard much about Thomas Crooks ever again. But you know that Kash Patel, new FBI director, has been on record saying he wants to get to the bottom of this. Elon Musk last week at CPAC said, whatever happened to that guy in Butler, Pennsylvania, which is a very good question. But the weird thing is, I was there for a week, literally boots on the ground, you know, literally the old fashioned shoe leather reporting on the snowy suburbs of southern Pittsburgh. And Doug Hagman, this private investigator I cite in my story, as well as Louisiana Representative Clay Higgins, they've spent months with teams and they don't have a whole lot except Hagman's fairly bombshell information about geofencing data.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And frankly, Clay Higgins, I mean, he seems like a very nice, smart man, but he was at Quantico with the FBI. He has, every last ballistics piece of evidence. But when I said to him, okay, what do you think happened? And listen, this is no diss on him. His only theory is that Thomas Crooks was on some kind of pharmaceutical drug. Now, all these kids in America today are on antidepressants or Adderall or something, but I have not known anybody, young or old, that took one antidepressant. They might have all sorts of reactions to it, but the idea that you would take an antidepressant and remain totally normal otherwise, but somehow get in your head you're going to kill the presidential nominee, makes no sense. It just doesn't.
No, and then to be able to facilitate getting on the roof with a gun, yeah. I mean, and all of it. I mean, none of it makes sense. And
none
so,
of it really makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just in every movie you've ever seen, you would think to yourself that would be unrealistic. If they submitted that plot to an editor, you go, this could never happen. They would never, the Secret Service would never let somebody be on a roof with a gun. And the fact that they were calling it in, and the fact that the sharpshooters didn't take the guy out sooner, and I mean, all of it, just they would go, this doesn't make sense. This is ridiculous. This would never happen. Throw this plot away.
Yeah, but at the same time, I got to tell you, you know, having gone to Bethel Park, which is where Thomas Crooks is from, and talking to classmates and talking to three former teachers of his, it was very strange because I felt in a way my story was turning out to be a bit of a tribute to Thomas Crooks, which I didn't want because he killed a man, Corey Comparator, and he injured two others. I met one of the victims when I was out there, but I had to report what they were telling me. And, you know, one of his teachers, Xavier Harmon, really touched me. He was such a good guy, and he clearly cared about his students. He had Thomas as a student for 2 years in high school, and he just flatly, you know, says this couldn't be the same kid, but he feels maybe he got mixed up with other people. But even if that were the case, we thought maybe we'd find someone who said, oh, he started listening to this podcast or that podcast, and that turned him around and got radicalized. But there was no one to even say that. It's just like this black hole.
And what about all the communications, the overseas communications that we heard about? Is there anything to that?
Well, supposedly the FBI, they haven't said it, but former National Security Advisor Michael Waltz has said that they have cracked them open, but they're not saying anything about them. I mean, on one hand, it could just be like Signal, right? I mean, I'm on Signal. I don't know where. I think Signal might have an overseas headquarters. It's not clear if they just were messaging apps like WhatsApp and Signal and Telegram. I doubt it. But if that's all they were, that's fairly innocent. So why not tell us? What's with the mystery, you know?
Now, in your piece, you talk about the fact that the FBI may be covering up some data here. And I just want to read a quick a quote from the piece, Dana Kennedy. You say, sources told the Post the FBI has obstructed efforts to solve the mystery of why Thomas Matthew Crooks, who left no manifesto, did what he did. It's left local law enforcement as well as Crooks' former friends, classmates, and teachers frustrated. Now, why would the FBI obstruct these efforts? And we can hope that that is going to change now that Kash Patel's in there. But why would the FBI obstruct those efforts in the first place?
Why would they indeed, Rich? That's right. If I had the answer to that, I would have put it in my story. I don't know. I really don't know. And I, like you said, I don't know why they wouldn't simply reveal certain facts that you think would be kind of innocuous, like these overseas messaging apps. It's not even 100% clear to me they were messaging apps. I mean, when it first came out, they were talking about him having Bitcoin accounts overseas. So no one has said what these messaging apps are, and it's hard to understand. But again, if the Democrats were banking on Kamala Harris winning, maybe they thought they could just keep stonewalling until she was in. They had another 4 years of Democrats who presumably would not care so much about this particular incident. And unfortunately, things went in an opposite way and Trump was elected. And now Kash Patel's coming in. I really do hope he gets to the bottom of it. But I ran into some fairly menacing people. I'm not talking about deep state people in south of Pittsburgh, but people that I ran into, like at Thomas Crooks' sister's apartment complex, that were kind of the enforcers and said to me, this story is dead. Remember that.
The story. Yeah, well, that's a crazy thing to say, right? I mean, the story's dead. Remember that.
Yeah, okay. Point taken. You know, am I going to find a horse's head in bed tomorrow? I mean, what? I don't know. The funny thing is, I don't have a lot of answers other than what I reported. And it was not that I thought I would go there and crack the case wide open in a week when these other people have been doing it for months. But like I said, you might have thought we covered a lot of ground. We probably knocked on and called more than 50 people. And they're just, everyone is like, and they don't seem to be faking it either. The secret could lie with Thomas Crook's parents, Mary and Matthew, who live in the same really, really tiny little brick ranch house in this middle-class suburb, Bethel Park. They never come out of their house, the neighbors told me. They come out like at 3 a.m. to do the groceries. We knocked on their door, and I don't love to bother people. You know, they did lose a son. But they've lawyered up. They lawyered up really quickly with a pretty high profile Pittsburgh law firm. And they're just not talking. And, you know, no one has sued them so far. So I would have thought that they could at least say something sympathetic about their son, because a lot of other people said very sympathetic things about him.
Well, I mean, what about the body, too? What happened with that? Because that's also raised a lot of suspicions, right? I mean, after the body was cremated or something?
Totally. Yeah, Representative Higgins said to me, you know, he, I think, went to the medical examiner in Pittsburgh that he said didn't have maybe the greatest reputation. I don't know. That's hearsay from him. But he said what was odd was he wanted to see the results of the toxicological tests. And from what he said to me, maybe they did them, but they weren't contained in the autopsy report. Then when the body was released, people like Higgins thought it was going to be going into the care of basically federal agencies overview. But in fact, someone just slipped the body to the parents who had him cremated 7 days after the event. So how will we ever find out if he was on, big antidepressants or taking antipsychotics or anything like that? Even though from everyone I talked to, Rich, nobody gave me the idea that this was a kid who had a troubled past. And the biggest thing that everybody wanted to tell me in Bethel Park about this kid was the narrative that came out immediately after the shooting was, oh, he was this Columbine type kid. He was a loner. He wore military fatigues to school. He was bullied. He even shot up his school or threatened to shoot it up in 2019. 2019. They told me those were all lies. Now, yeah, do reporters swarm a story? Does everybody want to get ahead of everyone else in the beginning? And, you know, facts are flying fast and loose. But this was an awfully well-constructed narrative to make everyone think, oh, there's another young, crazy Columbine guy. Glad he got offed, you know, really.
Okay, but even if he was this crazy, crazy kid who was on antidepressants and, you know, wanted to kill the former president of the United States, how does he get up on that roof? I mean, how does he figure this out? How does he know that he's going to be able to get through? Because the first thing that would go through my mind is there's going to be cops everywhere. There's going to be law enforcement everywhere. There's going to be, you know, drones. And I mean, you how is he able to get up there? It just makes no sense that he would even think it's realistic for him to get up on that roof.
100%, Rich. That's a great question. Right? I got to tell you, his one of his teachers, who I liked a lot, Xavier Harmon, that was his number one point, because Xavier is a great guy and said in his class, he had nicknames, loving nicknames for all the students. And he called Thomas Muscles. And it was a joke because he was really scrawny and he loved the nickname. He didn't take offense. It wasn't bullying it, but they did call him Muscles just because he was, he was a quintessential kind of nerdy guy. But there's a lot of nerds in computer science classes. That's not exactly a new concept. But the teacher kept going. More than one person who knew him said, we just can't even imagine him dragging a ladder. He was not a super physical kid. And again, this goes into conspiracy theories, of course, but you do have to wonder, if you're just one 20-year-old kid that comes from just, you know, such a normal middle-class suburb, his job is spooning oatmeal to senior citizens at a nursing home, that you're going to feel, you know, confident enough to go to a rally where this world famous presidential nominee is and going to take a shot at him? He just looked as if he could do it and nobody would stop him. But again, I don't know. Representative Higgins told me he felt there was no conspiracy. He felt that maybe the Secret Service didn't plan enough exactly, but he didn't feel as if there was anything nefarious. He said specifically that crooks acted alone.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like saying Oswald acted alone. I mean, maybe, but if that's the case, then why are there so many classified files still, so many mysteries to this? I just don't know how it's humanly possible. I've been at presidential rallies. I've been at Trump rallies. I don't know how it's humanly possible to get a ladder and a long gun and climb up onto a roof and be able to pull this off in that manner, and to be able to know that there wouldn't be sharpshooters on those roofs and that building would not be secure. And I mean, it just doesn't seem practical, possible that somebody could just do that on their own. And if they are, then you would think that person would have had some sort of special training, would have been like, I mean, he almost killed Trump. Had Trump not turned like that, you know, millisecond, he would be dead. So, I mean, an expert marksman, you know, I don't know, like a former like special ops guy or something like this. Not just this freaking kid with a background in computer science who played video games all the time. It just doesn't seem possible.
I couldn't agree more. Now, you do know that it's on record that he visited this gun club. He was apparently a member 43 times between August 2023 and July 2024 when he shot the president. And I went to the gun club. That's kind of an unusual place. They were not really thrilled to see us, so we didn't get much out of them. But clearly, you know, for all these people who kept telling me something must have happened, something happened to him, you know, between the times he graduated from high school and 2022, when he did this in 2024. But, you know, it's like, even if he was quote unquote radicalized online, you know, by who? Who was radicalizing him online? It's just, you know, I mean, you think of that in terms of ISIS maybe radicalizing people, but who was radicalized? Who made him think, you know what you should do is go practice at the gun range 43 times and then go to a rally and kill Donald Trump? And, you know, I know this sounds like an understatement, but when I was there, Rich, I'm driving along with my photographer, Matt, and I thought, this kid, if successful, would have altered the course of human history. It's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. But at least, like with Lee Harvey Oswald, he had like training, and he was talking to the Russians, and you know, there was where's the motive? I mean, all of these other things that bug me about this. So to just kind of close the loop here, Dana Kennedy, from your piece, would-be Trump assassin Thomas Crooks may have had an accomplice. Data shows, who could that accomplice be?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And I was talking to Doug Hagman, who is the Gateway pundit, slammed me today or yesterday saying, oh, the Heritage Foundation had this geofencing data before Hagman. And that's true. They had definitely did some of that right after the incident. But Hagman went much farther with it. He identified what he, like he says, is his criminal network. And I pressed him on that. And he, you know, he told me, this is a private investigator from Erie, Pennsylvania, who was escorted to the county line twice while investigating this by, he said, what appeared to be feds or maybe private security. He thinks it could be a mix of federal agents, maybe private security people, you know, who knows? And when you geofence data, which means that you're matching up devices that are belong to other people, like I have a cell phone here right now, but my husband's cell phone might be with me and it would pinpoint together. But I don't think it's so good that you can actually tell necessarily who those devices belong to. I'm not a geofencing geolocation expert, but it also could be that there is more unknown and more will come out. And believe me, anybody watching this, any deep throat that has information, please dkennedy@nypost.com.
Great. Listen, I appreciate your reporting. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you joining us. And yeah, let's hope we get some answers on this. I really appreciate it. Dana, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you so much. Bye.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Okay, yes, the Grand Hotel is going to make you very, very happy when you go there this summer. So make your reservations now. And by the way, we don't yet have our dates fully booked, but we will get those to you as soon as possible. We're going to have 4 live shows, and they're going to be banging this year. So make sure you join us for that, and we'll get you all the details on that, okay? Absolutely. All right. Let's think about other things right now. One thing that this Zelensky thing did do was take the Jeffrey Epstein story off the front page. Because today, I was thinking that we were going to be getting all this information about Jeffrey Epstein. And we're not. And, you know, there's a lot of people right now who are very upset with the Attorney General, Pam Bondi. They feel like she told us there was all this stuff and it was all going to come out. And then she blamed the FBI and she said she wanted it on her desk by 8 a.m. And now she's saying the FBI is still withholding it, which kind of sounds like she's throwing Cash Patel under the bus a little bit. And so there's a lot of people who are saying, what's going on with the Attorney General here? And I mean, all day today on social media, MAGA, I guess, I mean, you know, to put it that way, I mean, very diehard Trump supporters have been bashing Bondi and saying that this is completely inexcusable here. And look, I'm a big fan of hers personally. I think she's a terrific person. I don't understand this. Like, I don't understand why you come out and you tell Jesse Waters the other night that you've got explosive stuff and it's all going to come out tomorrow and you've got it on your desk and then nothing happens. And then you say, all right, well, the Southern District of New York is covering all this up. Okay. And then you give these binders to these social influencers. There's nothing in there. And then you say, I demand all this information by Friday morning. And then you turn around and you say, I'm not getting any of this information. So it just, you know, the latest on this is now she's accusing the FBI of withholding the files. And you know, I don't know if, I mean, it appeared that Cash Patel appeared to respond to her on X. And this is what he said in his Twitter handle, which is Cash_Patel. And by all accounts, it's him. He says, you know, the FBI is entering a new era, one that will be defined by integrity, accountability, and the unwavering pursuit of justice. There'll be no cover-ups, no missing documents, and no stone left unturned. And anyone from the prior or current bureau who undermines this will be swiftly pursued. If there are gaps, we will find them. If records have been hidden, we will uncover them. And we will bring everything we find to the DOJ to be fully assessed and transparently disseminated to the American people as it should be. The oath we take is to the Constitution, and under my leadership, that promise will be upheld without exception. Okay, so that's kind of the latest on this. And beyond that, we got nothing. So, I mean, the one thing I'll say about Zelensky, somebody made a joke that Pam Bondi should nominate him for the Medal of Honor for taking the story off the front pages, because I'm telling you, up until that exchange with Zelensky in the Oval Office today, you went on X today and it was a bash Pam Bondi fest of she lied to us, and there's no other way to put it other than she exaggerated all this stuff, and now there's a cover up, and now she's trying to throw the FBI under the bus. And I mean, I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. You know, this is one of those times where I just genuinely don't know what to make of this, because there are people that respect her tremendously, and they just they think that there's either she just exaggerated for I don't know what the sake of it, or is just completely maybe covering this up for another reason. And I can't imagine that she would say that, but you know, Liz Wheeler saying that President Trump and Pam Bondi are committed to releasing all this, but we haven't gotten anything yet. Glenn Beck said that Liz Wheeler told her the Epstein Files binder photo shoot was intended to be a message to the legacy media that they no longer had power to manipulate the truth, but it soon spun into something else. And what it spun into is that people turned around and said there was nothing here. You know, there was nothing in this. So I don't know what to make other than had the Zelensky eruption not occurred in the Oval Office, we would probably be discussing a lot about the Epstein files right now. Now, there's like little things that have come out, nothing that's damaging. I mean, it's a story from late last night. You know, new Jeffrey Epstein contact list includes Alec Baldwin, Michael Jackson, Mick Jagger, RFK Jr.'s mom. But the much hyped, roughly 200 page document dump provided no big revelations, instead listing celebrities and politicians who are already known to have palled around with the notorious pedophile. So this is one of those times where I don't have an answer for you. I don't know what to say. You know, I don't want to jump on the bash Pam Bondi bandwagon. It's too soon to do that. I also don't want to be a lemming and just run to this idea that, oh, you know, there's this cover up going on, and so that's the only reason why you're not getting all this stuff. Hey, we're in charge now. And so that's inexcusable. I mean, if we really believe that there's the FBI is hiding documents or something, well, then send in agents. Have the director himself go there. I don't know. I mean, have the attorney general go there. Walk into the SDNY and tell everybody, turn everything you got over. I don't know what to say other than this makes no sense. And I'm way too suspicious of a person to think that we can just all go with, oh, yeah, well, they're just covering this up. We're in charge now. There can't be any cover-ups. So maybe we'll get more before the show ends tonight. I don't know. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. If you have any theories, let me know. Weigh in. Give me your thoughts. As we continue the show today, there's a lot of breaking news, and the president's going to leave the White House soon. He may speak to the press before he boards Marine One. If he does, we'll certainly bring that to you live. Absolutely. We're keeping our eye on that. But in the meantime, I want to tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding, because Emmons does incredible work for you, your family, your home. Everything with Emmons is top rate. The work that they do, it's all fantastic, and you will be very, very happy using Emmons. First of all, the roof, lifetime warranty on that roof with the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. Windows, doors, siding, 10% off discount for each and every one of my listeners. That's right, 10% off Anderson Windows, doors, roofing, siding, and so much more. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division, and you can trust the great people at Emmons to do a great job for you. We used them in our old house. They were fantastic. Emmons is first rate. My wife was thrilled with the work that they did. And your home will look more stunning from the curb, be more energy efficient, and ready to withstand the elements. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so busy Friday today, no doubt about it. We'll come back to the Trump-Zelensky stuff and give you all the latest on that and everything else that's going on in the world. But we're very happy to welcome to the show. It's been a couple Fridays, but he is the man himself. He's the author of the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. He's Dr. Wilfred Riley. What's up, my man? Long time no talk.
What's up? Good to be back on the show.
Yeah, it's great to have you. How's I guess like you're almost to spring break, right? Is that, are we getting close to that?
Yeah, spring break is next week, I think. This is our midterm week right now.
Okay, midterm
next week's
week.
Our midterm week, then spring break.
Well, I didn't know if you were avoiding us because you might have been on the Epstein list, but since it's not coming out, apparently, I guess we don't have to worry about that.
No, I'm definitely not on the Epstein list. yeah, there's a whole thing about like decadent. So the Epstein list, I suspect, has more people than anyone would imagine, just because of how there's a generational crossover there. Like, I mean, I was in Chicago in the 1990s, and this was never my thing. But the whole idea of like law firms throwing parties where you had, you know, small bowls of Coke on counters, and you know, there were no kids at these. The girls that were like 19 walking around talking to people in their 30s. This is pretty normal for quite an era. I mean, I'm sure Trump did that kind of thing, although nothing with people younger than that. And Jeff Epstein just took that to a new level. I mean, he had cheerleaders from private schools and hanging out at his apartment and musicians coming in and out and so on. And then we kind of transitioned through the woke era and through kind of a new era of Victorian prudishness. And, you know, there's a lot of bad to that, but there's also some good in that people looked at this guy who's like 55 and realizing, what the heck is he doing? And he faced some criminal charges, but we also kind of took his little black book and realized, like, Bill Clinton's in here.
Yeah.
So then that disappeared, and that disappeared really rapidly. And the reason that disappeared really rapidly is that a lot of public figures were obviously in it. So Epstein apparently had an actual date book with the names of people, with the names of girls. I'm by no means sure that what was released. I mean, I know Chaya Raichek and some of those people that were at the White House. I don't blame them for taking a photo op beating a popular president. But it looks like they got some kind of binder with sheets of paper in it. I mean, I'm not sure what exactly they got. You know, hopefully we'll see some releases, but I'm not seeing a bunch of like back-breaking content like this is Bill Clinton and these are the 12 girls he interacted with over the years. You know, that has definitely not come out.
Yeah. And I mean, I wonder if it ever will. I mean, that's the question, because Pam Bondi certainly set up the other night to suggest that there was a lot of really explosive information that was about to be released here. So everybody kind of got their hopes up for that. And now allegedly there's an FBI cover up of this. And the only thing I can say is I hope if that's the case, if what she said is, I don't have any reason to doubt her, that there's explosive, shocking allegations, then we hope we can get them, right?
I'm sure it is 100% true that between the Epstein, Diddy, and Weinstein scandals, there is explosive information out there, like at the level of J-Lo loves extreme BDSM, or again, 1 to 2 U.S. presidents are, you know, pedophiles is technically inaccurate, but are comfortable dating high school cheerleaders. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that would be in, you know, the personal Rolodexes of all three men. Is that going to be released? I would really doubt it. I think if it was, there would be deaths, in fact. I don't think Epstein killed himself.
No.
You get these kind of scandals. Well, of course not. But I mean, it's bizarre that in America we have assassinations at a certain level of politics. And I mean, you sometimes remember what humans actually are when you see like Martin Luther King getting shot in the head, RFK getting shot in the head, JFK getting shot in the head, Trump getting shot in the head.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, like when his little black book was still just in police custody before that could be disappeared, frankly, I mean, you know, he quote unquote managed to strangle himself with, you know, 100-ply set of sheets in a suicide proof prison where all the cameras failed. Right. So, you know, that was what it was. Will we ever see who the clients were? I don't know. You know, one of them was apparently the King of England, right? Or the older brother of the King of England, Prince Andrew. And I mean, he had to step down from the line of royal succession. You know, so when you're making enemies at that level, or when you're setting up assignations at that level, I mean, you tend to run a risk of rapid dissension of life.
Dr. Wilfred Riley is with me right now. It's great to have him. Let me ask you about discrimination, because obviously a lot of what President Trump's doing right now with DEI is trying to get rid of reverse discrimination. And we have this, there's a case in Ohio, an Ohio woman who brings a reverse discrimination suit to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court finds radical agreement in the case of this woman. I think that it's interesting that we're at a time now where we're not just saying that we want to get DEI out of schools and we want to end this stuff, but we're now at a time where we've got people fighting back. So this Marlene Ames, who alleges that she was denied promotion and later demoted in favor of far less qualified gay candidates, this might be the first time where we have a case of anti-straight discrimination, but the Supreme Court found radical agreement with her in this. This is kind of a first, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting. First of all, I don't think there's such a thing as reverse racism or whatever. I think it's just racism.
Interesting.
I mean, racism.
Yeah, that's true. Right, yeah, I mean, right, yeah.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, it just not any radical correction there or anything, but like, as a lawyer, racism is just discrimination against someone on the basis of race. So this whole idea of reverse racism was one of these accommodations we made to the left in the 1960s, like saying sex work. The idea is that only whites can be conventionally racist, so maybe minorities can be reverse racist or prejudiced or something. And I noticed that in their briefs, the Trump administration is now just saying racism or discrimination, and I think that's the way to go. You know, minorities make up 35% of the country now, and if you look at Asians or middle-class blacks, are doing as well as whites. So at any rate, though, I think that's... The only thing that makes this case unique is that it involves gay people, which is kind of interesting. Gays are not covered by the Civil Rights Act. I haven't followed the newer cases since Obergefell. I mean, I assume they are covered by some of those. And if they are, I mean, the way all this DEI stuff works is proportional representation, essentially. Mm-hmm. So right now in the United States, it's considered a prima facie case for discrimination if your workforce doesn't, quote unquote, match the population. So, I mean, basically, as you probably know, if you're a boss, you're supposed to have 60% whites, 12% blacks, 18% Hispanics, whatever. The problem with this is that test scores, felony records, so on, are very different among groups. Blacks are getting better on the test, but right now we have 2.4 times the white crime rate. Hispanics, I don't mean to be glib here, but often don't speak English and so are doing poorly on the test. Asians are killing everyone on the tests. So if you just hire based on merit, you often wind up with a lot of white men, a lot of Asians of both sexes, some middle-class black guys, not many Hispanics, no Native American Indians at all, a lot of Jews. Your picture doesn't look like what it's supposed to, and so you get sued. DEI is the counter to that, where you bring in, again, 12% African Americans, so on. And you adjust standards to do that pretty dramatically. So at Harvard during fair admissions, we found that the boost for a black person over a white person was 200 points. For a Hispanic person over an Asian person was, I think, 370 points. And it's fair to call that discrimination. I don't know how many points a gay guy got over a straight guy. But if that's, say, 100 points, you can sue based on that. You can say, well, this is simple prejudice. I would have been hired with a bonus of 70 points had I simply pretended to be homosexual. So, yeah, that's a civil rights claim.
Yeah. And you know, the reverse discrimination is kind of an air quotes in the Wall Street Journal op-ed about this by saying, you know, the Supreme Court's opening the door now for whites to be able to sue to say that they were discriminated against because of the color of their skin because they were passed over in favor of somebody for DEI. So as a lawyer and as a guy who has, you know, spoken out against the obviously, I mean, because I agree with you, it's racism, right? I mean, are we going to see a lot more cases of this, of the guy who's a 40, 50-year-old white guy who got passed up for a job or got let go for somebody because it had to meet their DEI requirements? And, you know, are those case is going to be successful? Are they already happening?
Well, they are already happening. We've actually been seeing these cases for several years, but I think the worry with most white guys is just, well, you know, I'm probably not going to win this case, and this is going to hang around and hamper my career. First of all, I'm going to look like a whiner, which I think white men and to some extent black men are more worried about than other groups. But secondarily, this is going to be an albatross around my neck. I don't need this if I'm ever going to apply for a job with a female boss again. So I think we've seen those cases before. Whites have been more reluctant to bring. Now, with a popular male Republican president, you will see more of them. And, yeah, under CRA 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, whites have as much of a right to bring them as anyone else. What the Civil Rights Act prohibits is discrimination based on race, ethnicity, nationality, or sex. And there's no whites are considered as much of a distinguished race as anybody else. And I think by this point, there's plenty of evidence that there's discrimination against Caucasians. So I think mm-hmm. we tend to think of discrimination in the 1964 Jim Crow sense, like, you can't spend the night round here, colored boy, sort of thing. but I had to do it. But this is, at some point, if you're saying, well, we're not going to hire more than...
So.
Yeah, well, I'm a black guy, and I'm not prejudiced against whites either. But I mean, like, you know, at some point, if you're saying, well, we're not going to hire more than 40% whites around here, and we're going to penalize whites by 200 points on the test in order to get the minorities we need. Yeah, I don't see why you can't bring a good civil lawyer in there and say, look, this is just obvious racism. Mm-hmm. If you were doing this with black people, this would just be a facially obvious lawsuit. I mean, it looks like one to me. It's all up to what the judges say. A final thing on this. These judges have an incredible amount of power. Because of some reevaluations of what the district courts can do, a district court, which is the federal court for like a third of a state, can now stop things that the president or Congress has decided to do.
Yeah,
so judicial
crazy.
Review isn't just the Supreme Court. Yeah, it's when you hear this stuff, like a district court judge is like someone you would golf with. When you hear this stuff, like the district court of Northern Arkansas has stopped like Trump's or Biden's executive order. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's one guy in Fayetteville who said, yep, I don't approve of this. You know, I really think we need to look at some of these laws and rein in these judges again, because we don't just have judicial activism from D.C. We have judicial activism from like Frankfurt. I mean, yeah. Like there is a court in downtown Frankfurt. Like there's a state and federal court right here.
I mean, it's just, you know, the idea that these federal judges who aren't elected can stop the president of the United States of America, when clearly we have a Supreme Court. It's nuts. I mean, I think clearly, you know, the Supreme Court probably needs to rein this in a little bit here, because, you know, you got one judge saying he can do it, another judge says he can't do it, and then, you know, another judge says he can do it while the other judge says he can. It's just and it's just bonkers. I mean, he can't even keep up with the news cycle in terms of what he's allowed to do or not allowed to do based on a district court judge's ruling. I mean, somebody suggested that the Supreme Court has the constitutional power to kind of rein this in, and maybe they should.
Yeah, they do, in my interpretation of the law. And I mean, I'm not bad in terms of the old courtroom or reading through the books, although I've moved on from my first area of study. Yeah, I mean, I was recently in front of a three-judge court in Alabama as an expert witness. And again, that was like the Northern District of Alabama, although that was an excellently judged court. And yeah, so just basically, we've always accepted that judicial review, the ability of the courts to review anything that Congress or the president does, we've always accepted that for the Supreme Court. And for that matter, we've even accepted it for the tax court, the maritime court, maybe like the Ninth Circuit court, like the big courts. The idea that extends to every court in the country and that they can disagree with each other at the local level, to some extent, this is the same thing with the federal executive agencies, where Congress will hand over a piece of legislation to the EPA and say, we'll now enforce that. Basic governance becomes very, very difficult because you have extremely low-level bureaucrats that will stop you from doing basic things. This is why Trump didn't get the wall built, by the way. Like, I mean, you know, I really criticize him for getting like 700 miles of fence put up. You know, come on, he's a builder. But at the same time, you realize that there's all this stuff. Like, the EPA was hitting him with things like, you have to present us with a plan about how this impacts migratory animals. So it's no longer just Congress gives you funds and you put up, you have a reasonably coherent plan and you build a railroad across the country. There now are dozens of federal agencies, courts, international agencies, so on, that are going to be interacting with everything you do as a government official.
By the way, I just want to mention to you that somebody on our YouTube chat said that you look like Vin Diesel with a goatee. I don't know if you take it as a compliment. I would take that as a compliment. I think he's a very handsome man, Vin Diesel, but I just wanted to share that with you.
I used to get that all the time in high school as like a biracial, at the time, athlete with a bald head. I just started shaving my head back in the day. It was sort of the Michael Jordan style, but it was also just very easy to do. When I was a sophomore or junior in high school, I actually had like hair that was designed to attract rebellious suburban girls and irritate their fathers, kind of. It was like braided, and the braids were dyed different colors, and they were like pieces of like silver replica bones tied up in it and so on. And one of my coaches was just sort of making fun of me about it, like, yeah, I hope you like sitting on the bench with all that crap on your head. And so I just shaved it, and ever since then I basically just had a bald head. So I used to get that a lot. I looked exactly like the dude, although like smaller. He's both of them are Samoan, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, I remember the line from Pulp Fiction. Dude's Samoan, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think Vin Diesel's like white and Samoan, and The Rock's like black and Samoan, but Samoans are big. So, like, you'll see them both pose with NBA players, and they're only like 2 inches shorter. So, your Samoan on average is a big guy, and I'm not Samoan, so I'm a.
Tony Rocky Horror, right? Wasn't that the Pulp Fiction character's name? The dude was Samoan. I'm pretty sure. I don't know where that came from.
I think so.
Before I let you go, your buddy Chris Rufo's made a lot of news lately. And one thing I wanted to bring up was Bill Maher and I forget who else it was, but Charlamagne the God, both saying that, you know, Democrats are going to die on this hill of defending transgender athletes in schools, because you've got New Jersey pushing back, the Philadelphia school district pushing back. Like, if this is the hill they're going to die on, they're going to die. Like, they're never going to win elections again if they choose to go and stand their ground on this.
Correct.
That's it. Correct. All right.
Yeah.
Now we'll just move on then.
No, I mean, that's like in one sentence. Yeah, this is the last time I did correct data.
Mic drop, just correct.
just like one sentence data point. I mean, this seemed like a confusing issue because the questions were so badly worded intentionally by like feminist groups that were polling and paying for the polls. So you'd see things like, should transgender girls run with their gender or their sex? And the average working class mom would be looking at this like, what, maybe their gender? If you just ask, like, should people with penises compete with little girls, you know, it's an 86-14 issue. And the refusal of the Democrats to just accept this is crazy. I think Leah Thomas was a big watershed for this, Will Thomas, because you literally had like a top 300 ranked male swimmer in the country go over to the girls' side. And, you know, kudos to Riley Gaines and the other four girls that beat her.
Yeah, Paula Scanlon. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Paula Scanlon. But, like, it's just, that was crazy. Like, Thomas won a race. Like, the ladies got, you know, bucked up for the next two. Like, this isn't going to keep happening. But just, it's absolutely insane seeing a guy holding a first place trophy at the women's natty. So if the Democrats want to stand by this, I mean, you're going to see endless, like, Paula Scanlon ads for the next election cycle. I personally think they're going to give it up.
Dr. Wilfred Riley, always a pleasure, my friend. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. It's an essential book, and a lot of those lies are hopefully going to be rewritten now that we're getting some common sense back in schools. To be continued, my friend. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot. You too. Bye.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Some breaking news. President Trump just spoke on the South Lawn of the White House. We'll tell you about that, what he said regarding his blow up meeting with Zelensky. And Dr. Mike Veneria is the sponsor of this hour. He is our big story sponsor. Go see Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile. VeneriaDental.com, VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. We'll be right back with our fourth and final hour. Thanks for watching us on YouTube, and we'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.